Hello, everybody, and welcome a ching-a-ling-ling, a jingle jolly jolly. New Year is coming. Welcome to the Patient Players Podcast. My name is Daniel, your host, joined by my co-host, Jordan. And this podcast is not any particular edition of the year. This is the 2020 Patient Players Podcast end of the year celebration episode. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. Welcome.
This is the 2020 celebration episode. Pause. Thanks for listening. There's nothing to celebrate this year. Just kidding.
Yeah, you know what we have to celebrate this year? A lot of podcast episodes.
That's true.
2020 has more podcast episodes than any other year right now, as of right now, Jordan.
Of any podcast or our podcast?
Of our podcast.
Well, probably of any podcast. Everyone's stuck at home like, well, guess that's I'm starting fair. A podcast now.
You're not wrong. That probably happened more than people care to admit. This is the Patient Players Podcast. It is a podcast where we talk about video games. We talk about gaming in the slow lane, where we enjoy updates to some of our favorite games, or maybe we're rediscovering old classics more often than we're jumping on the newest trends. But this episode, more than any, we're really going to be going back. We're going to be reviewing what the patient players, Daniel and Jordan, and you, dear listener, got to experience through the year of 2020. We're going to be talking about our favorite moments from this here podcast, and our favorite episodes, our favorite moments there. We're also going to be going back and talking about the games of 2020. Not the games that came out in 2020, mind you, but these are the games that we played in 2020. These are the games that we thought were the most fun, that we brought up on the podcast, and we just want to go back and remember them for this special episode.
Should old video games be forgot and never brought to mind? No. They shall not, and that's why we're bringing them up to you in this special 2020 episode.
It took all year, but you finished a bit at the beginning of the episode. You got through a bit without falling apart at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You did it. Yep. Wow. 2021 is going to be incredible. That's all I'm going to say. If that's how we're ending the year.
That's why 2020 fell apart, is because I must have not finished a bit last year.
Maybe 2020 is not too bad if by the end of it you're able to finish your funny bits. I do have my end of year celebration sparkling water to toast. I can't really toast Jordan.
Same here. I have my insulin. Cheers, buddy.
You couldn't have a more appropriate Jordan toast toasting your insulin.
Honestly, though, I just wish they were bigger. They're so tiny.
I mean, is it because you want more insulin for less money, or is it because you just don't like it looking small?
I just don't like it looking small. I want a big, like, vodka-looking bottle of insulin. You can't drink it. I mean, you could drink it. It just won't do anything.
Does it enter the bloodstream that way?
Mm-mm. No, it gets digested.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Good to know. So, as we jump in here, like I said, this isn't our normal like weekly catch up on how our weeks have been, but instead, I want to ask you, Jordan, how was your year?
You know, honestly, like, I don't have many reasons to look back on 2020 with chagrin. Is that the word?
That's a good word for it.
Chagrin. Like, all in all, 2020 was still a good year for me, and I realize it wasn't for a lot of people, mm-hmm. which is very, very sad for them, and I hope that things turn around soon. But me, you know, I think it was a good year, especially doing this podcast. I can't believe we did it for an entire year, like over a year now.
But, agreed.
But like a calendar year, well, minus the beginning, I guess. So never mind, actually.
We'll get to that in a second, I guess.
Whoops.
But yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I'd say I know it's been really tough, and I know that there are people out there that are struggling physically, financially, struggling especially emotionally. I know people have lost opportunities, they've lost loved ones, and that's not a great year. For me, though, God's been really gracious and blessed me, and I've seen a lot of cool opportunities come up in my life, and I have not really been hit the worst by the quarantine or the pandemic. So I'm here to celebrate a little bit and talk about what we did like of the year, especially with the podcast.
For everybody to like. That's what we're here for.
In retrospect, as we get into the first of our podcast memories and milestones here, we probably should have seen this year coming, really, considering how it started for this podcast, because the first week of the year, we found that we had some technical difficulties as the hosting web server for the Patient Players podcast was under attack from malicious software and hackers. And if you've been with us since the beginning of the year, you might remember that there was not a podcast for the first month and a half of the year. 2020 had a rough start for the Patient Players, that's for sure.
And that's not because we weren't recording them. I mean, we weren't, but we weren't recording them because we didn't have a place to put them.
Yeah.
You got contacted by like your internet provider, and it's like, hey, stop doing this malicious stuff. And you're like, what?
They're like, is there a reason that you're port scanning this business that you really shouldn't be? And it wasn't me. It was the podcast server. But a little bit of IT love and tender care brought everything back up to speed. We were able to release the first episode of the year on February the 8th. That is episode 21 was the beginning of 2020.
What if we just do that every year now? We just skip all of January and start the year in February.
On the second week of February.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Man, that'd be sad.
I feel like that would make our current listeners very sad.
Mm-hmm. For consistency's sake, that would also be sad.
True. That just means that every day now, between now and the end of the year, we have to record a new episode, Jordan. And that way we can just stay on schedule, release one through all of January.
We'll have to make up games that come out that we've been playing during those weeks.
Predict if they're going to be good or bad.
Or do the thing where it's like, Daniel, did you hear about blank? That happened this week? And then when it comes around, we just record. Did you hear about new video game that came out this week? Boy, I should do like gaming in slow lane.
In the original recording, it's just blank, and then we just go back over it and we just put new video game name. Like, yeah. We don't actually put in any new game.
Yeah, because nothing comes out, really.
Oh, that would be good.
Oh, but BlizzCon is in February.
Mm.
Or March.
I mean, that'll be another fun special episode. Mm. But we did get back on track, you know, February, right before the eye of the storm of this horrible year for the world. We brought some light back into it with the Patient Players podcast. And things are going pretty smoothly, though we did hit a pretty cool episode. This might be one of my favorite episodes, in my opinion. Do you want to talk about episode 29, Jordan?
I have no idea. What is that? I don't know.
It's in our notes.
It is?
Episode 29, yes, that was our first big special edition episode.
Where in the... Oh, hey, look, weekly special notes. I didn't see you wrote all this.
Yes, I did.
That's fun. Yeah. So tell me, what happened on episode 29?
Well, I'll tell you since I set you up to set me up for that. Uh-huh. that was our big top 10 episode. This is where...
It was?
Yes, it was.
Why?
This was... I don't know. It just worked out that way.
Did we not do top 10 for like a 50th anniversary or 1 year anniversary?
No, that's coming later. There was a different reason.
What? We did.
Yeah.
But I need to go back and listen to episode 29 because Daniel and I were talking and we're like, we need to go back and listen to some of these because there's some funny stuff in there. We need to be like some robotic Canadians and go back and listen to episodes in drones.
That is true.
Anyways, top 10, episode 29.
Episode 29, we went over the top 10 games each of us felt for all time. Like, we went all the way back. We're talking about GameCube games. We're talking about Minecraft, right? Like, this wasn't a top 10 of any particular time period. This is just our favorite games. Great episode to go back and listen to if you're new to the podcast and you want to learn a little bit more about us, about the style of games that we like. What's so confusing for you?
I'm still trying to figure out why we did it in April.
We just planned it that way. We just said, like, hey, we should do this cool thing on an episode, and we just did it. Because we do what we want, Jordan.
That's
we
so weird. I thought, I know we did love. I didn't realize we did what we wanted with the podcast. Apparently, they're one and the same.
All right. And then we had another big jump, Master Producer Jordan, on episode 33. Will you tell us more about that?
Yes, I know what that is because I'm looking at the notes now. That's right. This year, episode 33, we started going live on Twitch, in case you never heard of Twitch. First off, how? Second off, we started live streaming on the internet. We started live streaming our episodes, giving our listeners one more reason not to listen to our actual podcast episode, because you can see our wonderful faces live talking about video games on the weekends.
Yes, and this is where we started taking the questions live from the chat during our questions and answers section. And it's the start of the video archive of our podcast. So our YouTube channel started to get the video archive there. So prior to episode 33, you're really just stuck with our bland old voices in this bland old podcast, not the exciting life that you could be living over on thepatientplayers.com /social. Twitter and not Twitter. I'm sorry. Twitch and YouTube feeds. But yeah, episode 33 was where that all started. We've made some big improvements since then. I, you know what? I didn't mark down the episode for this. I need to go back and find it. But shortly thereafter, we also switched over to, a new theme song. I need to find that milestone.
Oh my goodness. That is a milestone. I'm thinking, did we really not do anything for our 1 year anniversary?
That was pretty close to our 50th episode, so we did come back around on that.
Okay, double whammy then.
Because we had a couple missteps with our with that month that we had off and a few other things like that.
Right.
So the numbers got a little mixed up for us, but we kind of celebrated that for the 50th episode. Okay. I found it.
Episode 3. It's not coming back to me.
By the way, episode 33, the first video was called Luigi Suck of the Wild, which was
Luigi's Mansion : Suck of the Wild.
Choice podcast name there. But yeah, episode 37, we introduced the new theme song courtesy of David Irizarry Music. Episode 37, the second month of June. Boy, which if that doesn't describe this year in a nutshell, then I don't know what does.
I guess that's what we were talking about, wasn't it? How June rolled around and then it felt like June rolled around again.
I think it was just because you didn't say the second week of June, but you said the second month, and we just rolled with it.
Oh, okay.
It.
Yeah.
Things kind of stabilized after that. Once we were going live with video, we had our new theme song. Nothing changed very much up until... Jordan, you just decided one weekend, you know what? You didn't feel like podcasting.
I think it was for a wedding, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was some last-minute schedule.
It was an actional event. I'm like, don't make it sound like I just was like, I don't feel like it this weekend. I did have like somewhere to be that was somewhere. Why couldn't I do it? Oh, yeah, it was the wedding, because like on one day I had the party of the groomsmen.
That's right.
And then the wedding the next day. It was like the whole weekend shebang. So I was like, Daniel, you try to find someone. Or just do it on your own, you know, just like a Let's Play podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, welcome to Patient Players. I'm Daniel. That's it, just Daniel. But no, you found someone.
I did. We actually, rather than leaving our podcast listeners high and dry, we jumped over and Imran, new friend of the podcast, Imran from the Jock and Nerd podcast, was able to help us out with a guest appearance on episode 45. That was a real fun one. We got to talk about Spider-Man and The Messenger, all sorts of great stuff over on episode 45. Go check that out. Check out the Jock and Nerd podcast as well if you want to hear more of Imran. And again, just shout out and say thanks to Imran for being a great support, a great guest to help us out in our time of need for episode 45. And now is the big one. Here's where you can come in, Jordan. This is the big 1 year celebration.
The big shawami that we planned like months in advance. This was very exciting news to have writer of the podcast Kay come on, only to be rudely interrupted and hacked by writer of the podcast Keaton instead.
Which just like Keaton, all those emails he's trashed.
Exactly. Which it still made for a good episode. Talking to Keaton about animes and stuff. But that was a very exciting 50th anniversary. 50 episode, not anniversary.
Yeah, big shout out to Keaton for coming on. That was a super fun episode with him there for us.
Big shout out to Keaton and Kay for writing us an email every single week of the year this year. I think maybe they missed 1 week or something. Mm-hmm. Which that is a lot of emails. That's a lot of words. We should release it as a book, like chapter one, letters from K or something.
That would be the most confusing and strange book I've ever read, and there are some pretty weird books out there.
I'm really curious how many words it is, though. Like, if it was a double-spaced paper for a school assignment, I want to know how many words they wrote.
I found, like, a dedicated archive in our email inbox that you started to set up with all of the emails from Kay. And I don't... Are you still doing that? Because the numbering stopped.
I forgot that I did that.
Yeah, and I was like, you could just total up everything in there and see how long it was. But that was kind of our big celebration of the 1 year of the podcast. I never thought the podcast, when we started it, would be going this long. It's been really fun. And then... The final event of the Patient Players podcast, besides this here year in review, of course, was something that is still in development, and I like to coin the Great Canadian Invasion, as we've witnessed our podcast listenership explode in the last 2 months off of old content, and that we have very suddenly a large number of folks over in Canada who have decided that, you know, episode 30 or so was a great place to jump into the podcast. And I've just been listening along 1 week at a time. So, you know, sometime next June, or whenever these Canadians are listening to the end of the year special edition episode, thank you guys. You've really made 2020 nice. I don't know who you are.
Yeah. Can I say this now? If you're listening, can you go ahead and go to the live one, the most recent one, and just say hi or something?
Yeah.
And then you can come back. Just go forward. Say hi, and then come back to where you are.
Yeah, I mean, still go listen to them all at your own pace, man. No rush, but come on, Canadians. Like, just drop by and say hi. More than likely, it's probably some weird bot or something, but I have built my own headcanon around our dedicated Canadian fans.
I love that. That's hilarious.
Maybe one day the mystery will be solved, but hey, in case you forgot, patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. Drop an email there. Let us know who the heck you are and where you found the podcast. We'd love to know more.
And your favorite brand of syrup.
Sure. Or your favorite flavor of poutine. Either one. What a year we have had this grand 2020 adventure.
How do you spell poutine?
Poutine, P-O-U-T-I-N-E.
Thank you.
I do love me some poutine. Those curds on that gravy. Just perfect. All right. So what we've got as a special treat for you, dear listeners, to wrap up your 2020, make it a little special, because we know it's been a little rough for you, is we're going to go back and talk about just the highlights of the year, the best games, the things that we really want to call out to you. Now, I am going to start off. I've got a list here, and you know me, I can never keep things simple. I have a couple games that I've purposely left off the list that I want to mention. Because they are worth mentioning, but there are various reasons that they don't belong on this list.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon's Dogma and Dragon Ball FighterZ. Those are two games you may have heard me mention recently on the list. I've not really completed playing either of those, so I wouldn't feel justified in taking anything off of this list and putting them on, because I don't know if they're going to last. I don't know if they're going to be great long term, so I've decided not to include them on the list, but they are great so far as what I think about them.
Whatever helps you sleep at night.
Justin, I'm trying to get through these games.
He was really struggling earlier putting together his list. He's like, please not count these two? That would make it so much easier if I can just say these don't count because I'm not done with them yet.
And the last one is just because it was a replay of a game I have played through Lost Magic on the Nintendo DS.
Probably the weirdest. Is this the honorable mention?
No. This is the last one I'm not including.
Oh. So isn't that an honorable mention?
Well, those are ones that didn't make it. These ones never had a chance. They're disqualified.
So, okay.
This is the dishonorable mentions.
What disqualified the magic game?
Well, it's because it's a game that I've played before.
Okay, gotcha.
And I went back to it, and I didn't even complete it. It was just like, you know what? I talked a lot about this DS game called Lost Magic on the podcast. A little too strange for me to put that on the list, but I wanted to call that out. Still fun. Go back and find it. I think we mentioned it in the description of some of the episodes. Lost Magic, if you want to hear more about that. But I don't want to take any more time on these, because we've got a whole host of games to go through. We each have about five of our honorable mentions we want to just bring up. No particular order. We just want to mention them. And that leads us to our big top five games each of the year for 2020. So... would you like to start us off, since I've been talking through all these games that aren't on the list.
Sure. And can I say, for both the honorable mentions and the top five list, these are our chosen games of the year. These aren't like the games of the year, you know, so you're not gonna see all the big name titles. Maybe a few of them, maybe some of them, but not like all the huge ones where it's like, oh, what are you talking about? They didn't have so-and-so in 2020. No, maybe we just didn't play it. Maybe we didn't like it. That's fine too. These are, this is, you come to the patient players for two things, love and our opinions. So we're just sharing our opinions with love.
And our love.
Yeah, of course, with our love of both. What we think rocked our year. So the first that I have of my honorable mentions, and this actually started off on my top five, and then it kind of got bumped down to honorable mentions.
Down.
It is Super Mario 3D All-Stars. Waboom, bam.
Oh, really? Okay. Yes. Does that count? That's three games.
It counts. It's one.
Okay, it counts. It counts. It
has I'm been looking determined. At it. It's on my shelf. It's one game. It's one it's cartridge. So
it's in
take
my
that.
Box right there. You can see it if you look closely enough, right?
Oh,
there.
Very nice. Doo-doo-doo. So yeah, like this game was huge. It was very fun, but at the same time, it was also just a collection of remakes on a new console. I spent many an hour playing it, but it wasn't enough for it to be like, oh, that was a highlight of this year. It was definitely a great purchase, and I love it, but it definitely on the honorable mentions list.
I'm surprised that almost made top five for you. For a game of remakes. And you actively don't want to play Mario 64.
Yeah, I still haven't touched it. But I did 100% both Mario Galaxy and Mario Sunshine. First time for Mario Sunshine 2, and I talked about how much of a grueling process that was, and I never want to touch that game ever again, unless I'm just playing through the story and I don't want to do anything else.
I actually found my strategy guide for both Mario Sunshine and Mario Galaxy the other day, and I was like, I should pull those down in case I want to use them.
That's awesome. I love how they're still like relevant. They'd still be just the same.
Wow. I've got to say, before getting my list, apparently I'm really bad at counting because I actually have six games in this list.
Are you serious?
I thought I had got it down to five. Oh no.
I thought one was the honorable mention for the honorable mention.
Okay, so the most honorable of mentions, I'm gonna say is Jedi Fallen Order.
Wow, okay.
Not to talk too much about it. I actually purchased it last year, but I did play it at the beginning of this year. Mm-hmm. Very fun game. You might talk about it more in the future as you come back around and finish it. Because you never finished that game. It's so good.
Yeah, I still haven't.
The game is decent. The ending is really fun. It's really good.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
All right. So to get that out of the way, now my first actual honorable mention is actually a game I picked up during the summer sale as part of a group of first-person shooters. I played through all of the Titanfall 2 campaign. Shockingly, I loved it. Not shockingly. It was a good game, but I didn't expect to like it as much as
well,
I did.
Shockingly for how much you paid for it, right? It was like $5?
Yeah, it was something crazy cheap like that. What's weird is most people really like Titanfall 2 for the competitive aspect. I haven't even tried it. If I did, I'm sure I would like it. But I just played the campaign. I know I've heard a couple game reviewers, things like that, really gave props to Titanfall 2's campaign, and having played through it now, I will say it's one of my favorites. Like, the things they do with the movement mechanics of the wall running and all that stuff, in addition to the crazy levels and scenarios they throw at you, in addition to the fact that you have this Titan, which is completely different than playing the game on foot, it's excellent. I won't take up more time than that to talk about it, but Titanfall 2, very good and definitely worth it, especially on sale.
Bravo, especially for $5.
Yes.
Agreed. It was on $5 again this week on PlayStation, so I think I might have gotten it because of how much you loved it. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I'll play that on PlayStation.
Yeah, I think you'll like it. Very fun.
Cool. So my next honorable mention is a game that you and I played together, Mr. Daniel.
Oh, really?
Yes, that we actually played through at the same time. I didn't rush ahead, if that gives you any clues as to what it is.
That's a pretty rare statement coming from you, so I think there's only one game it could be.
It is. It was Borderlands 3.
That's not the game I thought it was.
Really? Nice. It broke my heart. It really broke my heart putting this on the honorable mentions list because I wanted it to be on the top five, but there's just no way. I still have not even touched the DLC. Not once.
No.
Which I don't think you own it, do you?
I don't. I just purchased the game. I actually think I got the game with one of those Epic coupons. So I don't even think I paid full price for it.
Okay. Nice. Okay. Yeah. So, like, I still haven't touched the DLC. It's, like, all the DLCs out. They announced a Season Pass 2. So, like, four more DLCs are coming out. Probably new characters and stuff. Good, fun game with a friend. I was sad where the story kind of fell short a little bit. But, again, I still would like to play the DLC with you or someone else sometime. It probably just won't play it on my own.
Right. Maybe I'll keep an eye out if I can pick it up for some sort of deal. Because, I mean, at this point, paying for two season passes, it's like buying a whole new game practically.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't even bought the second DLC pass. Like, I'm not going to do that until I at least play the first one that I own.
It is shocking. If you remember this time last year, Borderlands came up on the podcast every week as basically your most anticipated game of the year.
Yeah.
Like, that is... Even though it's still an honorable mention, it's still a game you liked, I think that speaks volume to just, like, kind of how disappointing it was that it's only a good when you wanted it to be so much more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. I'm sorry to hear that, my friend.
It happens, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, the next game that I want to bring up is one that I played at the very, very beginning of the year at PAX South Convention. A game from Daedalic that actually came out sometime this summer. I picked up right away called Iron Danger, which is the game where you are... It's an RPG game where you're controlling multiple characters through like a fantasy story. But there is a time travel mechanic and everything you do is on a timeline as you kind of individually control characters. And you can set up these impossible scenarios but make them manageable by dodging every attack and pausing and rewinding until you get a scenario just right. And I think it was super fun. As soon as you get that mechanic down, it's unlike any other strategy game I've played. Very, very engaging. I don't think it was the best only because the story has a massive cliffhanger ending, with not a lot of resolution. And, it's kind of small scale. I mean, it's from an indie game, publisher, generally speaking. Or it's not an indie game publisher, but a smaller game publisher. So that's understandable that it's not some huge expansive world, but it does have these discrete levels one at a time. And there's only a couple characters and they only have a couple skills. And I think in some ways that plays to its advantage in its simplicity, but it just keeps it from being one of my favorite games of the year, but really fun. I would suggest it for anyone who enjoys strategy games.
I still never played that. I want to try it out.
I have it on Steam. You're welcome to borrow it.
I don't have access to your games anymore because my computer reset. So
that's fine. We can work that out.
Let's fix that sometimes.
Let's do it.
But moving on to my 3 of 5 honorable mentions. This is going to be a nice short one. This was also on my top 5 and it got bonked out, swapped out with another at the very last moment. Very last moment is good old Terraria. Once again, Terraria making my top 10.
Cool.
Games of the year because it had its huge final update this year, and also
the final update or the final
update, they say, because they say each one is the final one, but the game is just so good and they keep updating with free stuff. I had so much fun when the final update came out, and I had so much fun playing it with you, Daniel.
Yes,
before the final update came out,
before and after, a little bit after, not as much as we'd wanted, but we went from a normal world where we had just unlocked hard mode to an expert world where we didn't have hard mode, and then that was too hard for us, and we kind of swap back and forth, and I honestly think the swapping kind of killed some of the momentum because of all the annoyance of taking your inventories back and forth.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But I had a lot of fun. This is the longest I've played Terraria like consistently, and I did see it when we were going through games. I didn't put it on the list just because it didn't reach some of these other ones we're talking about, but I had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Now, the next game, it might surprise you that it's here, considering how much I talked about it, and it's not in my list, but I really, really enjoyed, and then really, really fell off super hard from Genshin Impact.
What? That's...
Yeah,
what?
Genshin Impact.
I could have sworn that was going to be one of your top 5.
No, it's not actually. And it's just because...
Wow.
I think that game went from... like, the thing I wanted to play more than anything else. And I'm not saying it's a bad game, right? It's above all these other games I've talked about.
It's on the list.
It's on my list. But the number of microtransactions and events in there was a blessing and a curse. It was a blessing in that I really wanted a game kind of like that, where I could be working towards all sorts of objectives. I wanted to see numbers go up. I wanted to, you know, upgrade my weapon and then upgrade my skills on my character who I'm upgrading to upgrade my account. Like, I just wanted that kind of grind of a game, you know, just I can point myself at an objective. I can do it until I get there, right? Mm-hmm. The curse part of it is just that it took a game that I loved exploring and I loved finding new content in, and it turned it into a repeatable chore, which is kind of a death sentence for me, because what I realized I was having, the only time I had fun with that game was after I had already played for about 45 minutes and I had spent all of my like reoccurring energy. I had done all my daily quests. I had done whatever event was going on. And only after I had run out of all of those like energies and premium currencies and everything, then I felt like it was okay for me to go and just meander around the world and explore. But that was some of the times when I had the most fun. But because that game is tapped so closely into that center of your brain that's so reward focused and efficiency focused, mm-hmm. if you had this like energy available that you could spend, or if you had quests you hadn't completed for the day and you knew they were going to go away tomorrow, it almost felt bad ignoring them. So I couldn't ignore them, but I also was having more fun not doing them. And so it led to the situation where I would treat it like a chore, right? Like, so I get up in the morning, I take a shower, I gotta exercise, right? And on that list is Genshin Impact. And that's so I'm hilarious. Sitting there like on my phone completing quests that I don't really want to be doing right now. And as soon as I realized that was happening, I just dropped off and I haven't played again. And it was fun. Maybe I'll go back to it someday, but I just mm-hmm. needed to disconnect from that chore mindset.
Fun fact, I downloaded that today.
Whoa. Was it on PS5?
Uh-huh.
The one that you can't crossplay on.
Yeah. You know, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. But, yeah. Moving on.
I'd play it co-op with you if you got into it. That'd be fun.
Yeah. I'll try it sometime. Obviously, I downloaded it because I wanted to try it. But I'm fine with having the non-crossplay version. Probably for mm-hmm. the best, in case I do get into it. We'll see.
Fair.
Fair. But for my 4 out of 5, these aren't ranked, just my second to last one to mention honorably.
Before the list, before the big list.
Before the big kahuna, if you will, is mm-hmm. is Balloons Tower Defense 6.
As long as it's not Adventure Capitalist, I think I'm fine.
That, I thought about it. I was like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. But Balloons, oh my word, when I saw that Balloons Tower Defense 6 was a thing, I snatched it up and I played it so much that week. And then I even played like co-op with some friends that week and I was having a blast. And like to this day, I still have it on my phone because it has cross save. So on my computer, it's the same save as on my phone, which is amazing that I'll still log in and get like the daily bonus. And occasionally they'll update it with a new monkey tower or a mm-hmm. new map. And I'll play through it and I'll be like, I love Balloons. Dang it. It's so good. Like, it really has lasted like so much of the year,
which is crazy. Didn't we get this game for like $1 on a Steam sale?
It was like, it was on sale, like huge sale. Huge amount off is why I bought it, because I was like, this is a thing and it's on sale. I love Balloons.
So you were bitten by the Balloons bug, so to speak.
Yes, as the old episode said.
Yes. Wow. Okay, that's a good honorable mention. I also own that game. I also played it. I did not put it on my list. It's Balloons to me, you know. It's a little underwhelming, but I had fun with it. You know what, there you go. Now this game I'm sure was going to come up at some point, but I think that one of the best games of the year, you cannot talk about 2020 gaming without mentioning Among Us.
Cyberpunk. Oh.
No, neither of us have played Cyberpunk.
Just kidding.
I don't know if you know this, but neither of us have actually played that game.
Yeah.
Are you going to talk about Among Us later?
No.
Really? Does it make any of your lists?
No.
Have you started? Okay, I get the feeling you actively have started hating Among Us. Is this true?
I've learned how much I hate losing in it, to where I that's starting to make me hate the game.
On like, do you hate losing on any particular side, or is it just like ever?
You know, there's this psychological effect where when you play a team game and you lose, you're like, ah, we could have done better. When you play a game and it's just you versus someone else and you lose, it feels awful because you know that it was 100% your fault. And I have a lot of self-esteem issues. So when I lose, you know, 1v5, 1v6 or whatever, I feel so bad. And like, I get so mad that I couldn't like live up to like, it's like I believed in myself to do it. And I let myself down that Among Us, you know, it was iffy to begin with. But then I started realizing the frustration with it. I'll still play it with friends, and I just need to remind myself, like, as I play it, like, it's just a game, we're having fun.
Yeah,
everyone else is having fun.
That game is like 90% random chance in some cases.
If
as well.
I lose, it doesn't determine my value in life.
Welcome to Patient Therapy, where we get to explain to Jordan that it's okay to not be perfect at things.
Okay, but you like it, so tell me, Daniel. I made your honorables.
I do like it. It's just, you can't get around. It's the same thing you mentioned with our top 10 when you were talking about some of the social games like Minecraft and Terraria. And there are moments with Among Us that have nothing to do with Among Us. It has everything to do with its accessibility, and it's free on phones. It's available on all sorts of platforms. Just came out on Switch. And like, that does wonders for this game. You have people playing games as a group that you would never in a million years imagine would be playing this game.
And so, the phone one is free. Like, that is huge.
It's massive. Like, the thing about Among Us, I literally noticed I haven't talked a thing about how the game actually works. It's just its availability and its ease of use. But it gets so many people playing that how can you not like a game that I can play with my parents and then sit down on Discord and play for 3 or 4 hours with a group of people who really like games, and it's just as fun either way. And it's a game that has the simplicity of, well, you've never played before, so I can't tell if you're just doing things badly because you don't know how to hit the buttons right, or if you're trying to follow me around and kill me. Or it has the complexity to say, you know what, like, I'm playing 3 layers deep mind games where I'm not going to kill you here to pretend that I'm not the imposter, and then I'm going to sabotage this over here while I'm walking so you don't think I'm hitting buttons at the same time. And like, down to the tone of people's voice, to the timing of things, like, everything is part of the game when you're playing with friends. And I think that's really, really cool. So I love Among Us, and I'd love to play some more with people who are willing.
I love Among Us.
I'm also notoriously good at the imposter role, and I think I've heard at least 3 different people I know say that I scare them at how easily I can deceive people, which is kind of a weird personal thing, you know, to hear that from people unprompted. All right, what's up for you?
Yes. Lastly, my final honorable mention before the big tuna kahuna is, lo and behold, none other than Paper Mario, baby!
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
It was a good one. You know, I didn't know what to expect going into it. I think going into it, I had to tell myself this is not going to be like the old games, so I can't judge it based off the old games. Mm-hmm. So as a standalone game, it was a very fun, cute little Mario story adventure, which I have quite the desire in my heart. And I think a lot of it that really put it on this list was the fact that I streamed the entire thing on Twitch over the course of like 3 to 4 weeks. And I had like friend Keaton always in chat. It was so happy to be like, I'm going to play Paper Mario. This was like early quarantine. I'm about to play Paper Mario with like, cause Keaton always gets on. So if Keaton's there, Miranda, my friend at that time, who's now my girlfriend, she would hop on.
Girlfriend and podcast, Miranda.
Yes, that's right. And so I think maybe it might have not made the list if it weren't for that streaming aspect of it that really drove home, like, this was 2020. This was a 2020
social
game.
Experiences that get you, man.
Yes, it absolutely is. But yeah, Paper Mario Origami King. It was fun.
Wow, what a game. What a game. My final honorable mention before we get to the big list is going to be, I am shocked this did not make my list, but to honor the purpose of the list, I'm not going to talk about it too much, but it is astounding to me that Mountain Blade 2 Bannerlord is one of my honorable mentions for the year.
No, that just scares me. That just really scares me, what you have on the top five.
But Mountain Blade has been one of my favorite games. The original Mountain Blade Warband has been one of my favorite games to play for years. Like, I'll come back and spend like a week playing it. I just love that game. And Bannerlord has really met a lot of my expectations. But what keeps it off the main list is that it is still in early access. So a lot of things are changing about it a lot. So like I have had to restart characters. Some of the character progression and perks aren't fully implemented yet. But man, that team has done one of the best jobs patching and updating things of any early access game I've ever seen. Like every single day for the first week, 2 weeks it was out.
Oh, yeah.
It was getting major patches.
I remember that. That was awesome.
It was insane what they were doing. Like those people must have been worked to death. I hope they're okay. But yeah, that game, I just don't have enough to talk about to justify it in my next list. Also, it's a crime that this didn't make any list. So I'm not counting this one, but I didn't think about it till Jordan mentioned it right before we started streaming. I did play Undertale. If you haven't heard, Undertale's a good game. And I was like, it doesn't deserve to be on the list. But also, I literally can't stop like playing the soundtrack and listening to it and thinking about the game. So I think it probably has gotten robbed by not being on this list. But too bad, Undertale. You got your respect in another podcast.
Honorable mention.
And the most honorable of mentions.
Can I just say, I feel like before we move on, I feel like this is so applicable to what we're doing right now. Nintendo just tweeted out, sorry for checking Twitter during the episode, by the way, but they just tweeted out a website where it shows your gaming review of the year. Like, it's like what Spotify does, but with your Nintendo games.
We were literally just looking for this.
Like, this is awesome. Total hours, the games you played compared to last year, which ones they were. Like, this is awesome.
That is, can you send that to me while we're doing this podcast? Because I would like to review that.
Yeah, maybe we can go over it like at the end.
That's when we have hilarious.
Time. Or we can go over it right now.
What? Yeah, before we get into our big list, let's just take a look. Yeah. This is the intermission. If you need to go potty before the big five,
go get some popcorn while still listening, obviously. But I played 1,083 hours of Nintendo games this year.
And 800 of that was Animal Crossing?
It doesn't say, thank goodness. But compared to 2019, I only played 382. So
wow. Did you leave your machine idle for any point in the year?
I don't think so.
I'll have you know, Jordan, that Nintendo has labeled me a core gamer.
Dude, I was also a core gamer. Everyone's just a core gamer.
I'm a skilled, experienced gamer who's always up for a challenge. Proof of your core gamer status.
Heck yeah.
Oh no.
What?
My number one played game of the year is Yu-Gi-Oh!
Nice.
Followed by Pokemon, Hades, Dragon's Dogma, and Super Smash Brothers. I'm sorry, it's the other way around. Smash Brothers. No. Smash Brothers was my most in 2019. But yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, Hades, Dragon's Dogma, and Smash Brothers. Wow.
Oh wait, no, I did leave Fortnite idle sometimes.
Oh, that makes sense.
Okay. Dang. Dang, messing up my numbers.
1,000 hours is a lot of hours no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah, most played, I got Animal Crossing, Pokemon, and then Fortnite. It actually got third place because all the idling. And then Smash Bros. And Pokemon Mystery Dungeon.
Apparently, Sunday, December the 6th was my most active day. And apparently, while in March I spent 90 hours playing, I spent exactly 1 hour playing in July.
What? That is so weird.
That is absolutely bizarre. Well, I imagine that was at the height of the Animal Crossing fervor, so I was busy playing other games.
How many hours are in a month?
Well, it's going to be 30 or so times 24, so you're looking at about 600 and a little more than 600. Yeah, like 720 or so. That's a big face you're making. How many hours have you played?
I don't want to tell you what my number is for April.
Was that when Animal Crossing came out?
Yes.
Is it over 500?
No.
Is it over 300?
Yes. guess which one is Animal Crossing.
What's the number? I can't see it on the screen.
Holy smokes.
I can't. You got to say the number.
That's okay. It's 317.
317 hours of Animal Crossing. That's a lot of Animal Crossing, my good friend.
I was very excited for it, and I loved it when it came out.
March and May aren't anything to sneeze at either.
That's fine. And then January is just 9.
Wow. I've played 3 Mario games. I completed all 5 of the Mario missions on the Nintendo website.
Wow, congrats, and there's a bunch Daniel.
There's a bunch of video game suggestions for me.
I played 7 Mario games, so get wrecked, idiot.
All right, is that the end of our intermission? Can we get into the meat of the subject here?
Sorry, okay. Yeah.
Wow. All right, you started last list. Will you start this one?
Okay. Number 5. Hi, I'm your host, Jordan Squiggles. Welcome to my top 5 games of 2020.
Okay.
Coming in at number 5, we have none other than the conqueror of Terraria, the one swapped out right at the very last moment.
Uh-huh.
It's the mobile game. It's the PC game. It's the 5-year-old Hearthstone card game by Blizzard.
Oh, really? Okay. Yes. Okay.
Still going strong 4 years later. I still play Hearthstone like at least once a month. It was not that much at the beginning of the year, but I still played like every month, and there's not a lot of games that I've played for the past 4 years, like consecutively or constantly, consistently. Mm-hmm. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And then really, like, it just kind of picked up. Like, I'm still excited for every expansion that comes out. I love the new changes that they've put in with, like, I get excited when it's Monday now because I'm like, oh, that's when you get like the weekly quests for Hearthstone. And I'm just having a blast playing Hearthstone.
That's cool. And
only spending like 100, which, yeah, it's a lot for a game, but 100 3 times a year, so 300 a year on it, I can still get like all the cards. Like, I don't buy packs ever, and I have all the cards from like the past 6 expansions.
So I don't know if I'm 100% confident I've spent $300 on games this year, period, across the board.
I don't believe that at all. There's no way.
I don't know.
I guess you do buy one game and then play the heck out of it.
And usually those games are $15, which means, right, I would have had to have bought 20 different games. I've probably spent over $300 when you count Monster Hunter and all the VR games and Genshin stuff Impact, like that.
That alone was what, 20?
That was 2 months and the battle pass, so that was like 35 or something.
Okay, there you go. There's a tenth of it right there.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I'll count that out some other time. But yeah, that's. I'm glad you're liking Hearthstone. I will say, for someone who wasn't fully into Hearthstone at the beginning of the year, like you said, you're kind of taking it a little easy. You were visiting my home in January, and I will say, like, you were falling asleep to Hearthstone streams. So, like,
oh, I still do.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't even think if you're about not that. Playing.
Oh my word! Yeah, I don't think it's possible in my life to get to the point where I've played more than I've watched. Like, watching Kriparian play Hearthstone on Twitch, he's like the most popular go to sleep guy because, like, he gets like 12,000 views at night where everyone's just going to sleep, and he just has such a nice voice just playing Hearthstone. Like, there's no way I could ever get to the point where I've played more Hearthstone than I've watched Hearthstone.
Okay. Wow.
But I still love playing it.
That's your number 5 then?
Mm-hmm.
Number 5 for me is a dark horse candidate here, completely out of the blue. Did not expect it either. I didn't expect it to come out, nor did I expect to like it as much as I did, but Mortal Shell was a game.
Yes, yes, yes.
I had not heard about until the, last year's PC gaming conference? It was this year's PC gaming conference, the one that normally is aired during E3. They showed it and it looked just kind of intriguing. There's the giant fish and the people turning to stone. And I was like, what the heck is this game? It looks cool. And then it launched like a month or two later, like very recently after that, it was on PC exclusive to the Epic Store. And that was the game I tried to buy for full price and just happened to get the coupon for like $20 or whatever it ended up being. And then it was so good. It is a action RPG, a Dark Souls-like game, and I talked a bunch about it on the podcast, but the thing in retrospect that I liked so much about it was how it was so compact that there was only, like, four zones, basically, to play through.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only a couple bosses, there's only a couple weapons, it's not like this huge expansive world. But what that let it be is just concentrated, right? Every part of it felt good and fun and new. There was no area that was like a different area. And some of those four areas were like super unique and super interesting. And the enemies, there weren't a ton of enemies. Some of them did get reused, but each area did have like a lot of unique enemies and mechanics. And it was a game that I feel like if I wanted to keep playing it, I could just go back and play it again using different character or using a different challenge, like the one where you can't get hit at all without dying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my word. Yikes.
Which I did. I did play through the first area of the game with that turned on. It was very difficult. I don't think I could do it, but I don't think I want to play through the rest of the game like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've not tried out that they had like a cosmetics only update for Halloween. They added a bunch of spooky things and like an autumn theme that seemed cool. And I reinstalled it to check it out. Just haven't yet. But Mortal Shell, I will continue to suggest for anyone who likes that kind of action RPG game. I think it's an excellent game. It's not full price. It's not full length. You're not going to spend a ton of time on it. And I think you'll enjoy it a whole lot. I know I did.
That almost seems like a, kind of a bonus in mm-hmm. today's days. Like, hey, this is a full game that you can play and beat and be done with it like in a short amount of time. It's like, ooh, I like the sound of that because so many games are about getting you sucked in. You know, mm-hmm. monthly, daily playing. It's like, no, you playing, you're going to keep playing. But with this game, it sounds like you can beat it. And obviously you can play it again, but it sounds like you can actually get to the end and be like, ah, I beat this game.
Yes, 100%. So to give you some context, I've beaten through the entire game. I took my time with the first area, playing it a bunch, and I've also replayed through the first area with that challenge where you can't get hit at all. And I'm sitting at just shy of 17 hours played in the game. So I believe like 12 to 14 is what I spent playing that game. And it was very, very good.
Nice.
And I agree that that's a benefit to it, not a downside.
Yeah, definitely.
That it's compact. All right, number four for you.
I'm looking at it and I'm starting to think maybe I shouldn't have done it. Maybe it should have been like last year. But also, it kind of still works this year.
Is it this game you're about to talk about? I'm confused.
Yeah, it's the number four.
Okay,
yeah,
what is it?
I'll still mention it, but maybe it's more applicable last year. I put Super Smash Bros. Ultimate on my list.
Wow. Okay.
Like, yeah, just that I'm still always excited for announcements to it. I'm still like, for the first time ever, you know, Smash Bros. Has been around, in my life at least, for like 10 years, 10 plus years, just from friends having it and stuff. I've never been into it, but like with this one, especially recently, like I've started having fun playing it with friends. But I don't, was it this year? Quarantine kind of happened this year, so so maybe it wasn't this year.
Well, and you, I think what really got you back into it was starting to play more locally with friends, because I think when we've talked about it in prior year, it was like this intimidating thing to play against me, or
yeah.
like you always felt like you weren't good. That same, you know, patient therapy coming back up again about, you know, it's okay to not be good at something and still have fun with it.
Exactly. But it's been nice playing it with friends over at my house, to where I'll like win sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Especially even with handicap turned on, which I love handicap, but just being at the place where I can actually win a match sometimes, not every time, not the majority of times, but sometimes, that makes me be like, oh, I can actually, like, I'm actually having fun playing this game now. Like, oh, this actually is a good game, and people will talk about it, and I'll be like, oh yeah, I like that game now. I'm not like the hater crowd against it because I suck and it's terrible and it's not fun, because it is fun, and it's fun to get excited about new characters.
Did you learn about the block button?
Yes.
Good. That's the first step to becoming good at Smash Bros.
Wait, the block button?
Yeah. To block things.
The shield?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Whew, you scared me.
All right, number four for me. Now, you tell me if this needs to go any higher, because I imagine you probably put this on here too, but is a little experience that we got to enjoy together this year called Monster Hunter.
That's your number four?
That is my number four game.
Oh, so nice.
Do we need to wait for it? Is it higher for you?
Well,
is it not on your list?
Am I saying my number three next? I am. Yeah. Right? Can I say my number three next real quick?
Oh, what's your number three next, Jordan?
My number three is Monster Hunter World.
We both love this game.
Yeah, dude. What
a good video game. Man, this is a game I honestly am shocked that you enjoy as much as you do because of all of the surrounding stuff. Like, Monster Hunter is a game I remember hearing, like, when I was younger, was like so super hard to get into, super hard to learn, and had all this confusing stuff around the edges. And I played it on 3DS and I got past that stuff and I loved it a lot. And I just wanted to play it with friends. I only had one friend who would play it, and I think we only played twice. And other than that, I just played single player through like the whole game. And this one, we both happened to get it at a pretty good price. And a friend of the podcast, Kyle, was really into it. So we knew that we were going to have someone to play with.
He was so into it. Oh my word.
I was so terrified as every time I got to a cutscene and there was like some weird Japanese cat thing, or there was like some menu that popped up that talked about some archaic crafting system, or there was like you open up the item menu and there's like 100 items and they're all labeled with a different number and you have to mix honey and plants to get healing stuff. And like, I was like, Jordan is going to bounce off this game like rubber. And he's going to miss how fun it is to like prepare and like gather materials and make a plan for a monster and like track it.
You know what my solution was to that, to all that stuff?
Can I make a guess? Was it ignoring all of it?
It was just ignore all of it. Just forget it's there. Like, the only things I ever crafted were traps because I needed them. And I've only ever used one weapon. I realized by playing this way, I am missing out on so much content. Mm-hmm. However, it allows me to actually play and enjoy the game to the point where maybe at some point I will be like, I am getting a little tired of this weapon. I'll move on to the next one and try and master that for a little bit. But
what weapon was it? It was the great axe, right?
Yes. Where you could just swing. Yeah, thanks to Kyle for being like, like kind of recognizing my play style and being like, you should use this one. You can just sit there and you can just wail away without stopping. And I was like, that sounds fun. And I got to know how to use it. And I was like, that's it. I'm never switching now.
Well, remember how I was telling you I was really afraid you were going to bounce off of it? Mm-hmm. I remember you got on and you were like, I'm going to try the charge blade. And I was like, ooh, I don't think you're going to like it. It's very complicated.
I remember that.
Yeah, I got it. And then you were like, I don't know if I like this game. And then Kyle was like, hey, why don't you try the axe that you just smack things with? And
yeah.
And you like that one much better.
I did. I did indeed.
Because Monster Hunter, it's a completely different feeling game depending on which weapon you have. And I really only played two of them. I picked up the Insect Glaive because that's what I played the last time I played it. It was super fun. But I switched over to the Longsword, which I think is definitely more my style with the counters. The timing of it all. I love timing encounters in these kind of action games and how it rewards you by buffing you if you manage to like pull off one of these counters with the right timing. And man, we just talked last podcast about really wanting to get back into it. So you and I, holiday break, we got to boot up some Monster Hunter and go slay these Iceborne fools. I'm down. Let's do this.
I was looking through my Steam library to determine my top games of this year, and I only have like six games installed, and one of them is still Monster Hunter World from July. Last time I played it was July, but I kept it on there because I was like, I want to come back to this. That was fun. Next time it recircles in the friend group, I'm be there.
It's also big, so it's a big hassle to re-download.
Well, I have gigabit internet.
Oh, me.
Anyway, give us your number three, though.
All right, my number three. So moving on from Monster Hunter World, excellent game. Actually, a game that I nearly forgot was a 2020 game for me, but one of my favorite games, period, was Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, which it feels like it was another world when I played this game. I think it was all the way back in January because I received this game for Christmas in 2019.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I played this game all the way back then. I think it might have been February because we were doing podcast episodes. And as we discussed, January was not a great month for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But Sekiro, I mean, I like the game. I like the world. I've got this neat little poster here I'm going to put up some point after Christmas of the main character.
Huh.
I just like that game. I like that game so much that I got every achievement, which is not unusual for people who like video games. However,
it is for you.
It is for me. And second of all, with Sekiro specifically, you have to beat the game at least 4 times that I'm aware of in order to get every achievement. Because Jeez. There are alternate endings with alternate bosses, and there is an achievement for on a single save file beating every boss. That means you have to beat the game and then go to a new game plus and beat the game again. You have to do that at least twice. And so I guess that's three. You have to beat it 3 times, I suppose. That would be it. But then there are other alternate endings you need to get, which don't have their own bosses, so you can kind of copy the save file and do it that way. So in total, I believe that I have ended up beating that game a total of 7 times, which is crazy. Now, only once did I have to do the full game where I get all the items and check out all the little side areas and all that stuff, because after that, I was just playing on New Game Plus where I had all my items. Mm-hmm. But still, I remember sitting down one Saturday afternoon and just starting the game over, and by the end of that day, I had beaten it again. I beat the whole game in a day one time, just trying to level up my character to get all the abilities, because that's another achievement. And I would do it again right now. Like, I really, really like that game. I'm a big fan of From Software. And I don't know if I could put it above the original Dark Souls, and I don't know where it stands in Bloodborne, but all three of those are definitely vying for my favorite. Like, I can't choose a favorite child out of all three of those.
Oh my goodness, that's hilarious. I didn't know you liked Bloodborne that much.
I was just about to say, Bloodborne is probably third out of that group.
Yeah, but I was going to say, it's like, you absolutely loved Dark Souls, like, original one, with how much you've talked about it. And right. Not to say you didn't like Bloodborne, but you haven't talked about it nearly as much as you've talked about Dark Souls or Sekiro. You got all the achievements, which apparently that's the one Steam game you have all the achievements in. I just checked.
That's not true. There are games where I got all the achievements and then they added more with DLC. I got all the achievements in both of the Shadow, the Middle Earth games. I got all the achievements in, and
there's one other. Stinks one. That it takes it away.
Yep.
I didn't think you could add more achievements in Steam.
You can. They have DLC specific achievements in those games.
Lame.
But I gotta say, I think Sekiro is my favorite playing From Software game. I think Dark Souls is my favorite game with the world and the story. Like, it's just so good. And I think Bloodborne is probably my favorite mix of the two. Nice. It plays better than Dark Souls, and I think it probably has like a much better setting than Sekiro.
So I'm going to play Sekiro one of these days. It's on my list.
Right after all these other games.
Right after Hades. Right after, I don't know what other ones there
Monster
are.
Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Jedi.
Oh, it's Jedi Fallen Order. Yeah.
All right. What's your number two, my friend?
Coming in number two, which thanks to the Nintendo Switch UI, reminded me that it was my number two, which is, that's how long ago I played it. But this is good old Pokemon Sword and Shield, baby.
Okay.
Yes, 2020. I like this game so much. I rebought it in February or March, and I bought the Shield copy, and I played through the entire thing again, and I loved it, and I had a blast. Honestly, there's not much else to say about it. The DLC came out later in the year. I played through both of them. I liked both of them very much. Pokemon Home came out. I guess this year, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's yeah. right.
Pokemon Home came out. I have all my Pokemons on my mobile device. Very, 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 very fun game. Not the best in the series. I'll give it that. But I still like Pokemon. And I hope they don't keep staying on this downward.
They probably will,
but I hope they don't.
Look, if there's any game that doesn't need to be talked about at length more on the podcast, it's going to be Pokemon, and then the next one that you're going to talk about. But before you talk about your next one, let me take a quick break to talk about a game that is fantastic and everyone should play it. And I just bought it for the second time this morning.
On Steam?
That game is Hades. Hades. It just keeps getting better and better. If you have not seen or heard of Hades, you should go look at it. Jordan, you should play Hades. You already own it. It's fantastic. About this game when it came out on Switch, I've known about it for a while because it's been in early access on the Epic Games Store, and my wife Marion has loved it. And then she actually was waiting for it to come out originally, like a 1.0 release, and I saw it come out. It came out on Switch. Everyone was talking about how good it was. I jumped in and started playing it, and I have not been able to stop since. It is so good. It is a run-based game, and every run, they have this perfect balance of, like, the runs are very fun and work well, and then you get back to, like, the main area where you have all these characters you can interact with in story, and they just kind of dole it out a little bit at a time, because every time you come back to the hub, there's new stuff to explore. And it's this perfect cycle of I do a run, I get back, I want to see what everyone has to say, I want to, you know, buy stuff for the main area, I want to upgrade my character, and then I'm immediately ready to go back out again. And you beat that game, and that's just the beginning of it. You have to beat it more to get more of the story. I've completed the game, I've gotten credits on the game, and there's still achievements in there I'm trying to get. There are, like, they're called fates, and it's like, find every single possible upgrade for this weapon, find every possible upgrade for this Olympian god. And even those, as I'm doing them, it's not just a checklist, because they're still doling out new bits of story that are interesting. And I feel like there's still secrets in the game that I'm not familiar with, even though I've played so much of it. I'm running out of stuff to do in it. It almost prevented me from buying it again on PC when the cross-save update came out, like, last week, because I was like, there's not really that much more for me to do. But as I was playing some of it last night again, I was like, man, I just want to see what this is like on the PC in 144 frames with this beautiful art and this gorgeous soundtrack. Mm-hmm. So with the holiday sale from Epic Games, and they have that $10 off coupon, I bought it this morning.
Okay, so you did get on Epic Games.
Yeah, you can't say no to that coupon, man. It's too good.
That's pretty good. How much was it? Five?
The coupon's $10 off, so I bought it for $15.
Okay.
Yeah, not bad. And I just kept, and the cross save works exactly the way you want it to. I literally just booted up the game, and I was back in the same run. I was back in the same room that I had just saved out of on my Switch. Flawless.
How does that make sense?
It saves room to room.
But to what account?
Oh, you connect your, when you on the Switch version, you can connect it to Steam or to Epic.
Oh, wow. So
I logged into Epic through the Switch, and then it uploaded my save.
Wow, that's awesome.
And they do have multiple save slots. So if you've played it in multiple places, you can actually sync up your slots as well. So you can have your different save files from different platforms if you really care that much.
Very,
very, very good game. Yep. I want to talk about it more with you when you've played it.
When I play it. Hold on. Can I ask, have you tried it on PC yet?
Yeah, I played it for like an hour and a half today.
Does it run better than it does on the Switch?
You should just play it wherever you have it.
Right.
Because the difference is not large enough to make a difference if you don't already care about the game. If you already care about the game, gameplay-wise, it is not noticeably smoother. It just looks beautiful, right?
Like, right. But like, the difference, is the frame rate better at all?
It is, you know, up to 144 on my nice monitor, which is better, but
that's a resolution.
That's
a resolution. That's not a frame rate.
No, 144 frames a second. 1440p is what you're thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So it's up to 144 frames on the computer. But the gameplay differences of the higher frames is not noticeable to me. Like, it just looks nicer, and it's very well detailed. The art is beautiful.
Okay, very, very nice. I knew that was going to be on there somewhere. I guess I shouldn't be surprised that it was 2. That makes sense.
I am shocked it beat Sekiro, but I think it deserves it. It's really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Alrighty. So this is going to be bum-bum-bum Game of the Year for Jordan 2020. Let's all say it together. No, I'm just kidding.
Game of the Year 2020.
Blood out of the water. What's your favorite game of this year? What marked 2020 as the
Blood
best year
out of
ever?
The water?
Blow it out of the water.
Oh,
like, boom, I was like, here
what
it is.
Happened to the water? Why is the water bleeding?
You haven't heard the new update.
Animal Crossing, pirates come and attack your villagers and murder them and fill the rivers red with blood. Anyways,
I played that mod.
It's Animal Crossing. Big surprise. It came out in March. I played it when it came out in March, more than I was alive on some days, which is crazy. Not so much anymore. But still playing it. Still playing it, because they're still adding new content to it. You know, it's Animal Crossing. It's the life simulator. Of course, you're going to keep playing it. Mm-hmm. If you like it. I mean, obviously, your wife has kind of fallen off. And even my other friend's wife has also fallen off. Mm-hmm. But I still love it. I still like the content. I still got out every day. I'm building a snowman every day.
It's okay to be excited. It's okay to be excited about Animal Crossing.
It is. It better be. It's just, I'm not saying it's not okay to not be excited. I'm saying it's not okay that other people have gotten bored of it because they stink and their little stinky faces because I love Animal Crossing.
You know, it might make them feel really bad to hear you say that they stink for not playing, and it might make them feel so bad that they don't want to boot it up again and start playing again. And well, maybe you should be an encouraging member of the Animal Crossing community.
Fine, because Animal Crossing only deserves good players. I'm sorry. This is terrible.
You are so toxic.
I'm joking. I love my baby, my Animal Crossing baby. I love my island of Corona. aptly named for 2020, which I'm so glad they didn't like moderate, because at some point in the year they started banning some names. Mm-hmm. And I think some of them had to do with, I think COVID was banned, but because mine is also like not exactly the disease, they didn't ban my name, so that's nice too. Yes, Animal Crossing. It's great, and they're going to be updating it for the next year, they said, with new content all the time. They have a Mario update coming in March. And that was announced like...
A Mario update?
Yeah, like Mario, a bunch of Mario stuff is coming to the game.
You said March, not February? Because February is when they're launching Super Nintendo Land.
It's coming to March because... I think it's because it's the one-year anniversary of the game. And that's also when all the Mario stuff goes away.
I was about to say, they're marking the occasion of when they rip Mario out of your hands. Exactly.
That's when they announced it, is when they said, hey, Mario 3D All-Stars is a thing. Also, Mario Furniture is coming to Animal Crossing next March.
That's right.
However long ago that was, that's when they announced it was coming to Animal Crossing, which is, like, why wait that long?
Really, it's far in advance. Yeah, that's crazy.
Hopefully it's going to be a big update and not just something small and lame. But I'm so excited for it. And I love this game. I want everyone to love this game as much as I do. And it breaks my heart that they don't. But that's okay, because it's not really a part of 2020.
People love that game just as much as you do. They just don't have the time to put into it that you did for literally the majority of your life for 3 months.
That's what Keaton said. Keaton said, oh, I didn't rush through the game like you did. This is Animal Crossing. You literally can't rush through the game.
You found a way. You were on a southern island and a northern island. You are trading art with people online. You did that.
Okay. That's a fair point.
But you speed run on Animal Crossing.
But I did it legitimately. That's okay. Yeah, you really got me with that one. What's your number one, Daniel?
My number one, I don't know if this is going to be a surprise or completely not a surprise.
Honestly, but nothing's coming to mind right now, because at some point, all the games you like, their titles just kind of mesh together into words I don't know what they mean. If you could just pick one from your list, just pick one at random from your list and tell me what it's called.
The game is called Iron Danger that I picked.
Okay. I know what those words mean. Okay. But usually there's some long word in there that's like some fancy word I've never even heard of. I mean,
Sekiro?
Yeah.
Mortal Shell?
Okay. Maybe not that one.
Among Us?
Hades? RPGs. What about the RPG ones? What are those called?
Genshin Impact.
There you go. I don't know what those words mean.
But you know that game.
What's a Genshin? I don't know.
But
honestly, I'm excited for what your number one is. When you say it, I'm going to be like, oh, duh, I assume.
You are going to say, oh, duh.
Easily the game is coming to mind right now, and I'm excited.
Easily the game I've played more than anything else this year, spent the most time studying and playing, is Heroes of the Storm. A game that I literally joined a competitive league and was regularly playing 6 hours every week on top of everything else that I was playing and doing these weeks. A game that I made friends with on a team. A game that I would watch competitive videos and learn strategies about when I wasn't playing the game. A game that I didn't just play to play, but I would play to practice. I would like literally say, I'm going to play for these next 2 hours in order to be better at this character in the game because my team needs it, right? It went from a game to a sport, to a hobby. I have taken a step back from it towards the end of this year, just because that amount of dedication, while very fun, it was cutting into other areas of my life that is not gaming. And so for that reason, I had to take a step back from the team and the competitive scene. But it wasn't because I wasn't enjoying it. I loved the intensity of having an actual competition with points and brackets and the league and like a ranking that mattered, and having to coordinate with people, have practices, come up with strategies and synergies. Like, I have not had a gaming experience like that. You know, I've done occasionally, like I've done two or three like Smash Bros. Tournaments. I've done other types of competitive stuff. I did some ranked Overwatch, but like that's really about it of when I was really pushing myself to be better at a game. And with Here's the Storm, I went from playing quick play all the time to like shot calling for a team, like not only having to know how to play my character, but having to know as a team what strategy we need to take on a certain map with certain heroes to accomplish certain goals. And like the level of depth that I had to pour myself into this game to get to that was a lot. I don't think I've treated any other game like that. So definitely Daniel 2020 is most defined, I think, in terms of video games by Heroes of the Storm and my experience with the team, the Devil's Rejects. You guys have done a great job, and I hope to play with you guys again sometime in the future. But for now, I'm just enjoying the game. I climbed an entire rank. I climbed all the way from gold 5, and I'm now sitting at platinum 2.
That was very impressive.
I'm nearly at diamond level, and that's how much I've improved.
You did make it to diamond at one point.
No, I didn't. No,
you did.
Platinum 2 is the highest I've climbed.
Oh. I could have sworn you did.
I was in and out of platinum several times, but once I got in there and stayed in there, I rocketed all the way up to platinum 2.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, climbing in a team-based game is very impressive, honestly.
All of that was solo queue. All of that was by myself. I did not actually group up with anyone, which is a big problem in Heroes of the Storm right now, because they've combined the group bracket and the solo queue into a single mode. And so there's a lot of problems with people who are not playing at the level they should be at a higher rank, but they're getting to those high ranks because they're playing with team members that are much better than them. And so like they call it stacking, right? People are stacking a lot in these competitive modes, and it's becoming a big problem. Meanwhile, I've managed to go all the way from low gold up into nearly a diamond level rank, just playing on my own over the course of one season. A new season just started. I haven't really been playing that much because, again, I'm taking more of a break. But I do plan on getting back and hopefully climbing my way up even higher and seeing if I have time to do more of that stuff later on.
That's awesome. Looking forward to what they are going to add to the game in BlizzCon, at BlizzCon in February.
Yeah.
I keep thinking all the things they would have added to all their games if it had happened last month. Like, everything would have been out for a month by now if everything had gone smoothly. But it's all been pushed back to February. So I'm really excited, whatever it's going to be, because it's always something exciting. Like, it could have just been Hogger, the newest character, but, you know, it could have been something more. It could have been something they're still saving.
I hope sort of event, at least. Yeah.
Yeah. They've actually bought Hogger today.
They've done some really cool stuff with the game, too, because they had these things called the Nexus Anomalies that they have announced they are ending. They're turning those off, but they were drastic changes to the games that they wanted to try out for like a month or two, and then based on the feedback they would leave them or adjust them or take them out completely. So they had like, they changed the way that the buildings shoot at the characters, which is a big change. They changed the way that experience points are gathered, which is a huge change. They even added random weather effects, which everyone hated, so they took it out, but it was crazy when it was in, where you'd get hit by lightning and be going faster, or you'd have a shield because it was snowing. It was just wacky. And the most recent one, they added a universal ability that everyone could use once every 5 minutes to become unstoppable, which was a really big game changer. And they just took that out, and they've announced they're not doing any more of those. But 2020 was a crazy year for Heroes of the Storm, and it was a crazy year for me playing the game.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Wow. And here we are, end of the year, end of the podcast. Do you want, give me a full read through of the Jordan 2020 experience in video games. My eyes are closed. My ears are attentive. What is it, Jordan?
I feel like this is where I need to, we insert KK Bubblegum, the song. Oh,
no, I want you to read your list.
Oh, what?
I want you to read your list.
Oh, I thought you wanted a summary of the year.
Yeah. By reading your list, which is a summary of the
year. Okay. You worded that poorly.
I'm sorry.
We had Animal Crossing, Pokemon, Monster Hunter, Super Smash Brothers, Hearthstone, and then, of course, my honorables, Paper Mario, Balloons, Terraria, Borderlands 3, and Super Mario 3D All-Stars. A lot of Nintendo games.
It's been a good year for them, and yeah, not for most other people. As for me, still playing through Dragon's Dogma and Dragon Ball's Fighters, but meanwhile, I've got honorable mentions with Mountain Blade, Bannerlord, Among Us, Genshin Impact, Iron Age, Titanfall 2, and Jedi Fallen Order. And the games I played the most and enjoyed the most this year, Mortal Shell, Monster Hunter World, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, Hades, and Heroes of the Storm. Boy, what a year. Any last comments to send the year off as people enjoy their winter break? This, you should be hearing this sometime after Christmas, sometime before the new year, if you're not on the live stream.
Yeah, you won't hear our beautiful voices until next year, unless you know some person. But even then, maybe you won't. Maybe we'll die, and this episode will go live.
And then you'll hear us in January, our ghost of our voices come back and haunt you.
Oh, yeah, with a ghost of the podcast, Kyle. Also, with a special crossover episode.
Spooky ghost voices. He pulls our spirits back from the grave to discuss video games.
Yeah, to send everyone off, it's been a good year of podcasting. It's been a good year of doing love. You know what I'm saying?
What you're saying, Jordan.
We're talking about gaming in the slow lane. We're talking about We Do Love. Uh-huh. Can't believe that it's still stuck around.
It's never going away.
It's never going away. We do love. We do gaming in the slow lane. Thanks for gaming with us in the slow lane, or me not so much in the slow lane, but still a little bit.
And honestly, you know, this whole thing, it's something we do for fun. It's great to have all of you guys here as listeners. That's what really makes it special. When we get to hear from you, we get to see you guys in the live stream, when we get your emails over at patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. And just when we see people downloading the episodes, we know that people enjoy what we're doing. And that makes us feel good. It makes it feel worthwhile to be doing this in the first place, and that you get a kick out of your hosts, Daniel and Jordan. Thanks for a kick butt year, the first full year of Patient Players Podcast. I'm hoping we will see another great one in 2021. And you guys have a great rest of your year. Goodbye.
Happy New Year.